Well, take your Bible and let's look at the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. Thank you, girls. Very well done. Romans 15. I'll just read one verse out of chapter 15, and then we're going to slip down into the next chapter and finish out just a little bit there. Romans 15. Look at verse 32 down there at the end of that chapter. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, Paul is writing here, and he's writing about wanting to find rest and to find comfort. And he's writing to some people in Rome. These are Christians who, many of them have been scattered all over, from all over, and found their place in Rome. And he wants to come to be where they are because he's been with them before. Many of these people he has cried with, he's laughed with, he's bled with them, and they have been his help over the years. And so in the latter part of this wonderful gospel that he's been writing, he just wants to say a little bit about those people that have been a blessing to him. And so in chapter 16, he begins to list off 27 names of the people he wants to be refreshed with. Now, the word refresh is a very interesting word. It means to blow a cool breeze over. If you were hot and you were dry and you wanted to find some kind of comfort to be eased a little bit, you'd probably go in and sit under the air conditioner, get you a cold glass of water. That's what Paul's talking about here. That's what I want, he said, is to be refreshed with you, to have a cold wind blow over me and to find rest and comfort. And many times it was where those people were that he found that. And he names them off by name. Now, you'll have to apologize. I'll have to apologize. You don't have to, but I'll have to apologize if I don't say the names right. So if I have any English majors or people that are very good at this, don't correct me, please. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, verse 1, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a helper or succor of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own neck, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Janai, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbani, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are in Aristobulus' household. Salute Hedronian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphene and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labor much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, there are three things that Paul emphasizes as he's talking about these people who have refreshed him often, who have been a helper to him on many occasions. He says, I want to commend these people to you. Some of them were coming as of late to where the other Christians were. And so he's saying, I want to recommend these people to you. They are tried and true. They are what the good stuff is made out of. And here they come. Now, welcome them in. He said, I also want to greet some of you. In other words, I want to say hello. I want to offer a kind word. I want you to know that I've forgotten about you. I love you. And so he said, greet others. And then another word that comes up many times as I read this text is the word salute. And that's a word that you would do that for someone that ranks above you. You want them to know that you are pleased with them, that you appreciate them, and that they find a very valuable place in your heart. Salute them. They are above me. I put myself beneath them. Now, for Apostle Paul to say something like that's a very strong word. I recommend, I greet, and I salute these individuals. Now, like I said, there's 27 of them by name, many of whom are ladies that he's written about here who have been a great helper to him, some of which are men. Some are Jewish, others are Gentile. They have Greek names. And so there are all different kinds of people here. Some of them, he spent time with them. He knew right where they were at the time he wrote this. Others, he didn't know where they were. And maybe even the people that were received this didn't know where they were. And we really don't know a lot about many of the people that we've read about here this morning. We don't know what they did. We don't know exactly where they lived. We don't know how they helped Paul. And that should encourage you and me that just because nobody sees what you do, nobody was there to hear about what you did, nobody was there to pat you on the back, you did things in obscurity, maybe under cover as it was, behind a closed door or behind the curtain. God knows who you are. God knows what you did. And God knows where you are. Understand, God does not miss anything of what goes on in your life. God is very well aware of how you help one another, how you help his people, how you've helped a pastor, how you've helped a missionary, how you've helped young people. God knows what you do. Every dime you gave, every time you lifted a finger to help somebody, bent your back to help somebody, God knows all about that. And so that's one of the reasons why he refers to these people, is so that we'll understand God knows all about what's happening in your life. Now, there's something else that we need to be made aware of. He said, some of the things that these refreshers did for me was they went above and beyond the call of duty. Notice he said about Phoebe. He said, receive her in the Lord as become a saint. Assist her in whatever business she has. Watch this. For she hath been a helper of many and of myself. The word is succor. In my Bible, the King James, the word has strong emphasis on how she's helped. She has monetarily helped this man. She has come alongside him, perhaps even housed him at some time, fed him at some time. Praise God for saints that will take a man of God, will take a woman of God, and will lift them up in the time of their need. They understand perhaps when they have a financial need, and they slip them some money. They send them some money. I couldn't tell you the times I've heard stories, and even been a personal witness to this fact. Listen right up here, that when the person, the man or the woman of God, was at a destitute time in their life, would go to the mailbox and reach in there and pick out a check for exactly what they needed. I've heard about times when God's people in seminary on the mission field, they looked in the cupboard and didn't have anything to feed the kids and no money in the purse to go buy anything. And a knock would come at the door and they would open the door and there would be somebody with groceries or somebody there with a check. I'm telling you, that has happened, and God knows about that. Perhaps you've been the one who's been on the receiving end of that or been on the giving end of that. You know about how that happens. I've told you the story before, but we were moving to Memphis, Tennessee. We didn't know anybody over there except a couple of professors. We had all the moving expenses. I'd left a church that loved us, had been so good to us. We wept and wept tears of grief when we left First Baptist Church of Watts. We loved being there. And we packed our bags and we moved 5.5-6 hours away. And I'll tell you some little widow lady, I don't even know who she was, walked into First Baptist Church of Stillwell and handed Brother Roger Haney a check. And he told me this. I don't know who it is. He said, a lady from our church, he may not even said from our church, but he said, a lady, widow lady, gave this money and she wants you to have it. Actually, it couldn't have come at a better time. We had bills to pay. I didn't have a job. I was just entering into seminary. I tell you what, God blessed us in such a way. It would knock you down if I told you how much it was. I'll go ahead and tell you. All right, hold on. Buckle your seatbelt. She gave us $5,000. You talk about refreshing somebody. You talk about helping somebody in the time of need. You all know what I'm talking about. Perhaps somebody has done that for you. But he said something about another couple. He said, I want to mention Priscilla and Aquila. You'll remember they were tent makers. They were fellow tent makers. They had a business when he came into town. And he sat down with them and he helped them. He wasn't going to be a burden to the church. He wasn't going to be a burden to this family. But this is what he said about them. He said, Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife team, were my helpers in Christ who have for my life laid down their own necks. I give thanks unto them. I want you to picture this with you, if you will. Here's Paul. He's been in and out of prison many times, been beaten. He's been whipped with a cat of nine tails. I mean, he's been in some very bad situations. They have been hunting him down everywhere he goes. And here's a couple that many times would follow him and help him wherever he was. And at one or more occasion, here's what they did. Paul, we're going to bail you out of this, and we're going to stand in your place. We're going to usher you out of the situation that you're finding yourself, and we are going to lay our own neck on the line. You know what that means. The death sentence was on Paul, and I don't know how they did it, but they took care of Paul's life. And he got to go free. What an amazing thing they did for him. They risked their own life for the Apostle Paul. Now, something else that Paul said, he said, these people are well beloved. They're my fellow prisoners. He said, they are beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they are my helper. Over and over again, he said, they are my helper. He said, they're my kinsmen. They are those who labored much in the Lord. They're the chosen of the Lord, he said. That gives us the identity of who these refreshers were. It tells us what they did. And a little bit of, just if we could look into their window and see them working, see them serving God, we get a little glimpse of who they are. And Paul says, I want to come and I want to be blessed with you. I want to be refreshed with you. Because that's what I need. How many ever feel like that? You feel like, I just need to go and be with that person that I know loves me. I just need to go and have a cup of coffee. I need to go and have a Coke with them. I know they'll refresh me. How many times have you gone into somebody's house hoping to be the encourager, and when you walked out of the house, are you listening to me? You are the one walking a little taller. You're the one holding your head a little higher. You're the one that feels a breath of fresh air blowing over you. Am I saying it right or not? I've done that many times, thinking I'm going to go to this little widow lady's house. I'm going to go to this little family's house, and I'm going to be an encourager to them. Not to say anything bad about me doing that, but I'm the one who left, helped. I'm the one who was recharged. And Paul says, that's what I want to do with you. That's where I want to go with you. First Baptist, you all are the refreshers. I'm going to tell you, you are the ones who have refreshed us. I watch you refreshing one another, blowing a cool breeze over each other. I see you standing in the gap for one another. Thank God for you. You are those people. And God is writing it down. He is watching your steps. He is watching your every move. He knows what you do. Now, there are some people who are not refreshers. They say things like, they'll get over it. They'll get by. They'll be okay. Some people say it like this. Well, they'll call me if they need me. That's not a refresher. They'll call me if they need me. No, a refresher doesn't say, how can I help? Watch this. A refresher says, when can I help? I've been very careful. I try to be very careful, Brother Greg, when I'm writing notes or cards to people. And I'm trying to be a condolence to them or some kind of a sympathy or comfort to them. I've tried to be very careful not to say, y'all call me if I can do anything for you. I try to write on there, please let me know when to do something for you. Please let me know what to do. I want to be a refresher. See, because you can refresh by your pen, you can refresh by your purse, or you can refresh by your person. There's a lot of different ways. You can refresh through prayer. You can be that kind of person. Amen, Brother Greg? We can refresh one another through prayer, through sitting down, through writing down, and through giving something to others. That's what we can do. That's what it means to help one another. I want to be the person who responds the right way. I like what Junior Hill said. He said, true refreshers don't respond when asked. They ask when to respond. You know who the greatest refresher in all of the world is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it says of him in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'm going to turn over there. I think we have time to do this. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 43 and a few more verses down through there. It says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 10, verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. Now, what's happening in this scene? He's talking about how some people in the world lord over one another. They want to rule over one another. They want to be number one. How many of you know we live in a world where everybody around us thinks it's okay just to be number one, right? Isn't that what commercials tell you? Isn't that athletes tell you? I mean, number one. McDonald's used to say, you can have it your way, right? We want to be number one. Number one. Man, we got seven kids. You don't have to tell me about competition. I know all about competition. It happens. I got to go fishing with Brother Chris, and I took Joshua and Jeremiah the other day. I'll tell you something. Those boys want to beat you, don't they, Chris? I mean, they want to wear you smooth out and catch more fish than you do. They want to be, I mean, that's the kind of world we live in. Jesus said, that's not how it's supposed to be, though. In spiritual things, in our lives as Christians, he said, but so shall it not be among you, but whoever will be the greatest among you shall be your servant, minister, be the one who serves you. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. You know what Jesus is saying? Be a refresher. Be somebody who'll serve. Be somebody who'll come alongside and nurture and lift up. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To set free from bondage many. That's why he came. He came to give life. He came to get down under that cross and take it all the way up to Calvary's hill. He came to lay his hands on that wood and let him put nails through his hands and feet. He came to let him put a crown of thorns on his head. He came to serve so that your sins, so that my sins could be forgiven, completely washed clean. That's why I came, not for people to bow at his feet, not for people to hail him as king. He came to serve. As a lamb slain before the foundation. That's why Jesus came, to minister to us. Folks, and he said, that's the way I want my people to be, to serve one another, to love one another. Now, there's a story in the Bible that illustrates this in a practical way. The story is what we call the Good Samaritan. That story is about a guy who is not a Jew, but a Gentile. He may even be what we would call half-breed. A Samaritan was a cross between two groups of people. And they had a long history with the Jews. They were hated and hated the Jew. Here's a guy that came down going to Jericho and he got beaten and robbed and left naked. It's the way the Bible puts it. There on the along the side of the road, and the preacher came by, and what'd the preacher do? Well, he didn't want to get his outfit dirty, so he walked on the other side of the street. He looked over there and said, "Boy, it's a poor shame what they did to that guy." And he walked on down his way. And then the music leader came and man, he looked over there at him and he said, I got business I got to get to. I got things I've got to do. I don't have time. And here come a guy, and nobody would have thought. I want you to listen to this. Nobody would have thought this person would have stopped. But you know what he did? He stopped. He reached down there and he bandaged up and put some oil on it and put the guy up on his beast of burden. He took him down to a hotel or an inn, as they referred to it, where they would take care of him, and he gave him money to take care of this man who'd been beaten. And he said, "I'm going to go on, and when I come back, if I owe you more, I'll pay you everything that I owe you." I want you to turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, because I want you to see these words for yourself. Chapter 10, verse 33. Luke chapter 10, 33 through 34. Jesus, I believe, is not just talking about how we ought to respond to one another, but he's talking about how he responded to us. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Now, those are some very, very strong words in the Greek language. The words "and took care of him," here's what they mean. I want you to write it, and if you don't mind writing in your Bible or in some notes that you have, I want you to write this down. The word "took care of him" means to be interested in. To be interested in. Or if you want to write it even shorter, it means it mattered. It mattered. When this guy saw that man hurting, bleeding on South Road, he was interested in him. That's what it means to be a refresher. And that's what Jesus did for each of us. He was interested in you. He loved you enough. He took enough interest in you. It mattered enough to him to leave heaven, all the glory of heaven, come down to earth and die on that cross for you. It mattered. He took that interest. He didn't say, well, I'll send an angel, or you know what, maybe a man, another guy down there can handle this. No, Jesus said, I will do it. I remember Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It mattered. Why did he do that? Because you mattered to him. Because the glory of God mattered. And the forgiveness of sins mattered. And whenever we come after him, we are supposed to mimic him. We're supposed to act like him. Well, I could look all over this building this morning. I could point to many, 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 many of you, and I could say, you are like these people we read about. It matters to you. You're interested in. And I just hold my head up and put my hands up and thank God for how you are, what you do, the interest you take in serving the Lord. And like the Apostle Paul, I just wanted to take a little time this morning and just rehearse that writing, those commendations, those salutations, and those greetings that he wrote down. I wanted to take a little time, like the Apostle Paul, and I just wanted to give the rose before the time was up. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to give the rose before I slipped away or before you slipped away. You know what I'm saying? To let you know, I appreciate your love. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate how you have been a blessing to me. And I would be amiss if I didn't stop right here at the end and say, we need to do the same thing to one another. Many of you have your mother in mind right now, don't you? What a blessing she was to you. I wonder where Steve Sullen would have been if it hadn't been for his sweet little mother. See, I can say that because I knew about her. I wonder where Jeff would have been if it hadn't been for his sweet mother. Or Tim Blunt. See, I don't know. I can't say. I wish I could say, and I would blanket say that, but I don't want to miss. I don't want to mess up. But many of you are thinking about your mother, and you know what? Here's what you need to do. You say, Mom, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for blowing that cold air over me. Loving me. Reaching down and helping me up, fixing me food, washing my clothes. Are you kids listening to me this morning? Driving me all over town, following me all over the country to watch me play ball. Thanks, Mom. I love you. Give the rose before they're gone. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus was teaching us to do. Are y'all all listening to me? I think y'all are, right? Isn't that what Jesus was teaching us to do? Jesus said, I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to serve you. That's how much I love you. Now love one another like that. I know this is going to be kind of a strange invitation time. I've preached almost from Genesis to Revelation, right? But listen to me. If God wants to save you, God can save you right here, having heard the little bit of gospel that I preached and what He is speaking into your heart in Christ Jesus. He can save you right here if you need to be saved. Why don't you come and talk to your pastor this morning in this invitation time? Ladies, would you come get ready? Brother Don, Miss Glenda, would you come get ready? You can be saved right here before you move out of this place if God's dealing with you about that. Maybe you say, I need to get right with God. You can come and get in this altar and pray. Perhaps you need to reach over and hug a neck and make sure you make a phone call today or make a visit today before today's out, and you need to say, I love you. It may not be your mother, maybe somebody else in your life. You've not done that and you need to do that. Maybe you just want to thank a refresher. And I know this is, you say, Brother Joe, we got to get out of here. This is Mother's Day. We got to get to the wherever and eat. Wait. Don't miss this. You might miss that opportunity. Never get it again. Men, this is your time. Young men, maybe daughters, granddaughters, come up here and make sure every lady in this house gets one of these roses before they leave here. This is our invitation. Would you stand with me? What are we singing? Let's sing together. Roses are here. Come and get them.